As we move on here on a Thursday, pinch hitting for Zach Osterman, we stay in the world of great writers with Indiana ties, and we head down to Baton Rouge. And from The Athletic is the college football and golf writer. It's Brody Miller. Brody, thanks for joining us today. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me back back in the Indiana radio airwaves, man. I'm excited.
I like it. And we're not talking about any crazy things happening in basketball. This is just kind of normal radio talk, which I know I know maybe not as fun for everyone, but it's just strange to have that kind of that world calming down. And when you're on here to talk about the upside down world of the PGA Tour, which in our little funny world seems ridiculous because Indiana basketball was made us scratch our heads for so long. And now it's the world of golf. Before we get to that, sadly, I won't be down there to join you for super regional action, as we knew the winner of Kentucky and Indiana would take on LSU. You guys get the Wildcat fans. You ever dealt with them before a little bit on the side there every now and again?
Me? Yeah, no. I have dealt with them a little bit in my IU days, and then especially here at IU, and covering LSU the last few years. Yeah, they're, I mean, my family is a lot of UK alums, so I won't go too full throttle. But yes, their baseball program has been making some enemies a little bit. Yeah, I remember when they were, I believe, at Kentucky like a month ago. You know, Paul Skeens is like the number one pitcher in the country, and he's going to go like number two in the draft, and he's like, you know, I think he struck out 12 guys, shut them down, and like the UK team is just chirping him the entire game from the dugout, and like, they are just like staring him down and acting like they're playing tough with him. And I remember he just came off like, what are they doing? Like they're losing. Like, why? So I know, and I know the Indiana series is wild. So definitely not the most popular baseball program right now.
And remember, the teams reflect their leadership. So if you're wondering where they get all these great ideas, it's the guy that lets all of this go on in the dugout. I'll just point that out. Brody is on the Twitter at Brody A. Miller. He writes for The Athletic. Well, we have a busy day today. Our friends at the Big Ten are putting up new schedules. Did that surprise you that this was coming? It couldn't with 16 teams, right?
What do you mean by that?
The shifting of the no divisions, the we're not going to play, we'll do all this, because college football it's just not how it's going to be anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I think the divisions were a good idea, and I'm the kind of person who kind of secretly loves divisions, but at the end of the day, it kind of goes against what all this is trying to be, which is creating the best matchups, creating the most opportunities to play as many schools as possible, all those kinds of things. And I just think you're at a point where the schools have the power, the schools have the control, and I think you're in a situation where you have, you know, a Michigan, Ohio State every year that is clearly the second best team in the conference, and they're not playing for the Big Ten championship. And that's true of a lot of conferences, which is why the SEC is moving away from divisions in the next year or two, and so many, Big 12 obviously doesn't have them at all. I do think that is just kind of going to be the reality, which is I wouldn't even say a shame is the right word, but it will be an adjustment, because I am somebody who does believe in just kind of like structure and kind of like, this is the division you're trying to put in for the grand scheme of the product of college football. I think it's better.
I couldn't agree with your point of view more. My buddy Novak thinks the same way. But here's the problem. When you expand the championship, you have to rid the divisions, because when you just had to pick two teams to play in a title game, you wanted the best of what you had. Now you want more exactly. chances to fill it. So it's, I don't want to say natural selection. That's getting too carried away. But that's, we want more because more is more and less is no longer. So it doesn't make sense to do it that way. So you can get three teams in or two teams in, maybe even four if it's a ridiculous year. I don't know how this is going to work, but I know the college football playoff is not going to shrink.
It is not yet. It's going to move to 12. It is going to stay in this format. But to your point, you want as many teams in that top 15 in the country kind of world as you possibly can. And I think you're right. The no divisions kind of does help that. More teams in conference championship games does more quality teams, to your point. Conference championship helps that. And yeah, this is going to be really good for the big, the expansion is going to be very good for the Big Ten and the SEC, because it's going to mean that, I'm trying to figure out a phrase that's like, because of your strength of schedule, a team like, you know, I don't know, USC coming in, they could go 9-3, but with a great schedule and a Heisman winner, it's like, hey, they're still probably the 12th best team in the country, and they maybe get one of those at large spots. Or, of course, Indiana 2-3 years ago, they would have probably gotten in, those kind of things. So it's very good for the Big Ten as a whole. I think the fascinating wrinkle in all this, though, is what it means for an Indiana where you are now like the 14th biggest football program in your conference. That, and it's like, but you're the power conference. So like, could you steal an ACC coach? I don't know how that will work in the next 10 years, things like that. But I really am fascinated to see what IU does with this.
Well, and I think Indiana fans are also happy because the division's gone where you don't play Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, all of them annually. You just don't. So you've got a chance, if the schedule maker helps you out, to get to that magic number where you're playing in a bowl game every year instead of two out of every four or whatever the math is. It hasn't been good here recently, but it's been better, where you just don't look at that and say, okay, we have to win every other game because we know these are going to be really hard to win. So football we'll worry about down the road, but it's all about the money. Why do we want three teams instead of two? More money. Why do we want no divisions? We get better matchups. Why? It's more money. The TV providers, they kick it down.
Bingo.
They kick it down to the universities, and that's how this works. So we have to, they say jump, we say how high. And money is the first order of business when we talk about professional golf these days. The bombshell, and there's no other way to put it, on Tuesday morning look on CNBC, there's the announcement of the PGA Tour and the PIF joining forces to create a new golf league in the world. It's 48 hours old. We don't have all the details, but if it's such a good idea, Brody Miller, why did everybody hide it so closely to the vest?
That is one of the many massive questions coming out of this. Yeah, why did they think this was a better idea to do it as a secret like this? And Jay Monahan, actually, you know, one of the few things he showed any, I don't know, self-awareness on yesterday was him kind of saying maybe that was a mistake to not do that, to not be able to have better communication with, you know, different foundations, different people. But it is strange, and I think the answer is they knew this would get this reception. They knew this would be the most hated thing in the world.
That's why they went to CNBC. They didn't release it to the golf media. They didn't release it to SportsCenter. They went to the financial guys who said, okay, that's great. Now tell us all the financial details. They don't care about anything else.
They wanted to just rip the Band-Aid off as aggressively as possible, and I think that's exactly what happened. They're like, anyone could be mad if you want, but and it's tough because the biggest question in all this, right, the number one thing is what made Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour, change its mind so suddenly in such a 180 from where they've been for the last year and a half? That's the thing that is so hard to wrap your head around, the way that, like, as of just weeks ago, they were still lobbying senators to put a stop to live, and they were still, you know, winning in the courts, and everything. They were making the 2024 schedule. Nobody knew about this, and the change, something had to change. Some leverage had to be lost on Jay Monahan's side of things. And I don't know if we'll ever get the most honest answer, quite frankly, on what really happened. But you would assume there's some element of maybe they are more in trouble than financially than that we were led to believe. Maybe things coming out of litigation wouldn't have been so great in all these lawsuits. I don't know, and I hate even speculating, but something had to change to be able to make this kind of deal, make it this suddenly, not keep it a secret, and have to kind of basically let the PIF own professional golf going forward. Something had to change there, and that is part of why I would assume the answer is why they kept it a secret, because this happened suddenly and they needed it.
If this was held up in court for years, continuing on, the pool of resources that the PIF has are unlimited. The PGA Tour, they don't have unlimited resources. That's one angle that you can probably look at. The other thing, from the transparency standpoint, is if he told everybody this was going to be our plan forward, I think he would have got the same reception as he did at Jay Monahan, that is, at the players' meeting yesterday. What are you doing? Then he couldn't go on in good faith saying, well, my entire organization, a member-led organization, has said don't do this, but I'm going to do it. Well, he did. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, so that's the other – I mean, I think
one, first off, obviously this year nothing will change. It will be pretty much the same schedule to wrap up the season. And Monahan said in the next few weeks we will get a better indication of, one, what the actual framework looks like, what this quote-unquote joint venture looks like, that, you know, and also what the schedule of next year looks like. And I think the biggest question that most of us are really interested in knowing is what reapplication looks like for LIV members going back to a PGA Tour, going back to the DP World Tour. What does that look like? Is it, hey man, you're just back, welcome, because guess what? The guy running this, you're like, you know, obviously, yes. Yeah, that's what's, yeah, Yasir Al-Rumayyad, I don't think he's going to be like okay with the PGA Tour making it hard for them, right? He's the one controlling.
They have all the money.
Exactly. But then we keep hearing that, you know, like Monahan and Jimmy Dunn and all these people are making promises that they're going to make it really hard. And I think that's what's going to be so interesting in this next 6 months or however long it takes, is what that process looks like. Does LIV exist in a year? Does it exist, but it's like a fall thing that's just kind of a separate thing? I don't know. And nobody knows, of course, but that is, I think, what happens to the LIV golfers going back is the number one most interesting thing. And two, as we've alluded to, what this power structure looks like, because as much as Jay Monahan is in charge,
he's not.
It is very naive to think he is actually in charge.
No, there's a chairman. The chairman has all the money. The PIF has the first right of refusal on any outside influence or finances to be partnered up with it. There is the only power they have is literally, I guess, would be running the golf tournaments, and that's to be,
that
will be dictated from the top of how they would like these tournaments to be run, and that's terribly interesting. The other interesting point is the announcement style. Great, we can talk about that till we're blue in the face. The other part is why now? Why not? You know, when at Jack's place. 2 weeks ago, it wasn't going to be at the U.S. Open next week. Why now instead of at after the FedEx Cup? Why did this? Do you have any inkling of was this based on legal proceedings that either wrapped up or were going to happen? Why the timing of this week? Why on a Tuesday morning?
No, I mean, I hate to be like a terrible interview, but I think like so many of
them. No, you're making the point. You're making the point. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, like I don't know, and nobody really knows like why now. And I'm almost curious if you have any theories. I do think there was some element of like this would have gotten out. I think that was part of maybe the like unbelievable suddenness and like poorly way this was handled. I kind of think that had to be a little part of it, but I don't know. Yeah, maybe it had to do with the timing of legal, you know, court filings coming up, because they were coming up and things would have been open, books would have been open. And I think I've heard from many people the PGA did not want people looking into their books, things like that. So that's the best scenario I can think of. Or if you want to be like an optimist, they wanted to play this into the U.S. Open. I highly doubt that. So yeah, I think you have to view it from a cynical point of view. What's your theory?
Yeah, cynical and skeptical. There's no other way to do it, because when you have this many unanswered questions, it just doesn't look like it was well thought out. And it almost looked like, and again, I'm, you know, I work for the PGAtour.com, so I got to watch what I say to some degree. But they couldn't find me with a magnifying glass working for them, by the way. But the part is, you know, it sounded like if you don't buy this time, then something else is going to go on. And they're like, okay, that's good enough for us. We'll jump and we'll go. We won't tell Tiger. We won't tell Rory. We won't tell our board. We won't do so. All the transparency that was built up through Jay Monahan's early time through the players looks like all of that. You can understand why they would not be happy with how this has come to fruition.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing in my mind too. Yeah, there's some element of, like you said, if you're going to do the deal, like, we don't want to miss it, because this is basically, as much as like they are rightfully getting dunked on, this is also saving the PGA Tour, probably, you know, like the PGA Tour is probably more trouble than we realize, and this is probably saving it to some extent. So I think you're right. I think there's an element of you jump on take on it the second you can. And I think there's an element of, like you said, just rip the Band-Aid off before it starts filtering out to the players.
Brody Miller's our guest, the writer at The Athletic, at Brody A. Miller. You can find him, IU grad. Smart, smart cookie, follows this for a living. That's why we have him on today. And the other part of this, it is very interesting, and again, I do not play a lawyer on the radio or off the radio for that matter, but if you get everybody to get, Rory McIlroy could be as mad as he wants. He can hate Liv. He can say, I hope Liv never exists. Rory McIlroy cannot take his golf ball and go somewhere else. There is no place else for him to apply his trade. That is going to be the next interesting step of this. How does that work out moving forward?
No, it's true. I mean, we had meetings yesterday with some of the writers just kind of being like, talking it through, right? Like, what would the recourse even look like? And I just don't think there is a recourse for the players. And that is probably why, to the example you just used, you know, Rory McIlroy, as far as we all know, is as angry about this as anybody in the world. And he's also the guy, and granted, Rory's one of the more mature people in the world, but Rory's the one who went up, as his own words, a sacrificial lamb yesterday, and still took the stance of, well, in the grand scheme, this is going to be good for golf. And if he's even taking that stance, I think that's the best evidence you can have that no one's going anywhere. They are all just going to, you know, be quiet and move on and take what happens, even if they're quietly mad about it. And the other element is, I believe all the players who stayed are going to still get pretty significant paydays, for lack of a better way to put it, to take care of those guys, because I think that's a lot of the anger, too, is we haven't even touched on that, but these guys turned down, you know, in Rory's case, reportedly $300 million, and then they joined anyway.
I think that's the interesting point. They turned down that money because they chose not to for the reasons they chose not to. Now they can't turn this down because there is no place else to go.
Exactly. Jay Monahan has said probably five times in the last 24 hours that, like, he wants to take care of those guys. He wants to make sure. And, I mean, you know, Yasir has basically come out saying, like, he is putting billions and billions of dollars into this. So, you know, there will be money to take care of those guys. There will be massive purses, one would assume. You know, all those things will work itself out. But still, yeah, they have every right to be pretty angry about this.
The reason they didn't join in the first place is they might not have enjoyed where the money came from. Now they have no choice but to take it. So they've gone from independent contractor to indentured servant. And I think that is very... very. What else would you do? I mean, what's the recourse? There is none. You're a hostage now, whether you like it or not.
Maybe there's like a world you could argue that they are the product, and, you know, they could go and just make like all of everyone. If every one of those players got together and said, we're just going to go play elsewhere. Yeah, like that could work.
Like the Jeff Bezos tour. What are we talking about?
Exactly. Like, that's just not realistic. I don't think that's happening. The fact that Rory McIlroy came out like he did yesterday and said what he said proves that that's not the plan. So, like, there isn't anything, and I think they're just almost going to just operate under the hope that they're going to get some big paydays anyway, and they're just going to accept that this is the reality. And I think that is so much of really, like, this is, and I'm not trying to, like, tell our listeners here, we're like, what to think or how to feel, but, like, that is the real, I think, lesson of these last 2 days, just for me personally, is just realizing, like, we're all talking out of our behind in hindsight when we're talking about morality and sports and all these things. And, like, guess what? That was never real. That using that as a public relations tool to win a fight was never real, and it was always disingenuous. And at the end of the day, whoever's paying the bills is going to win. And I think that's the reality, and that's what we're going to learn, is all these PGA players who said these things are now like, I guess we're staying, because that's just the world we live in.
Well, and then there's no place else to go. And
yeah,
you could retire and do that if you really wanted to make a moral stand, if that is the case. But this will be a case study for generations to after we're gone to look back at and see how this works. So the golf season doesn't change from this point on. Now the next is these questions that we don't have answers to. Is this something they have to race out? I mean, who do they answer to now? They don't have to answer to anybody. Maybe the Department of Justice, but that's about it.
Yeah, so I do think it's almost a failure on my end that we hadn't discussed that already. But, yeah, I mean, there has been, you know, we had a piece out today. You know, multiple outlets have come out today talking to people in the government and whatnot, basically, like, this really might not be done. That almost anything from an actual legal point of view, anything looking at the case the PGA Tour and Liv have been making for the last year in courts, would indicate that there's just no way that, you know, they don't look at this as an antitrust issue. So But Jay Monahan has been like weirdly confident on that. And there's this, again, I'm sorry how unbelievably cynical I am sometimes with this.
That's fine. Like, we all are in this early days.
Kind of. Yeah, I just wonder if there's some kind of wink-wink agreement this will go through. You know,
until they tell us there isn't one and show us the proof, I think you're more than welcome to think that way, buddy.
Yeah, I do kind of wonder that, because to make this happen, you know, like, there's all these other things, right? The Secretary of State is on his way to Saudi Arabia right now, and just there are, you know, oil threats going on right now, and I just wonder how much some of this stuff might be tied to that, but we'll never really know.
Nah, we never want to know how the sausage is made. We just want to enjoy all of it. We enjoyed your time.
Enjoy some golf at the end of the day, man. Yeah,
that's it, man. Let's get everybody together. But how we got them together, competition's great, but the rest of this stuff is crazy. So I don't know what the next step is. I don't know if, again, when there's no plan that it was given and there is no money to be worried about, you can kind of just sit back and take your time and put it together. That's not frightening, but it's weird. I don't know how else to put it. It's weird.
The right way to put it.
Yeah, I think the PGA learned that fighting somebody with infinite pockets, you can't fight forever. And now they own basically everything that's going on. So that'll be interesting to see how everybody gets in line. And as you brought up as well, the guys that left, how do they come back? They're going to cost somebody jobs here. Is the team game going to be a part of this? How does that work out? So there's plenty of different interesting golf questions outside of the morality and the money that I'll be excited to see you guys keep writing about. It's weird. I don't have a better word, man. My daughter turned 13 today. This happened on Tuesday, man. I've had a weird week.
I believe it, man. And it's a weird week. And you know what the weirdest part, I think you just touched on this too, is like the most messed up part is that this is actually probably good for golf, despite my moral objections, despite all these frustrations, all these weird things. Like, this is actually going to mean this is better than what the past year has been for golf, even though so now we are rooting for the quote unquote bad guy, but it's better.
If it was played in a vacuum, I would agree with you 100%. But as we've learned in life, very rarely are things in a vacuum. Hey, thanks for joining me today, buddy. Good luck covering the Super Regional down there in Baton Rouge and having fun in football season as well. You shed some great light today, and I'm going to bother you to come back. Now, if Osterman ditches me here, well, you're going to be on the short list of redials, buddy. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime, man. Always a pleasure. Take care.
That's Brody Miller. Brody A. Miller on the Twitter, The Athletic, college football and golf for The Athletic. So I brought him on for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's as smart as he can get, and he's following this stuff. And you can see by the lack of answers everywhere that we're just not avoiding it. We just don't know. We as golf people just don't know, because there haven't been, here's the plan, read this and get back to us. That hasn't happened. So what we're trying to do is trying to piecemeal this together. What was a great quote I heard yesterday? There's a bunch of breadcrumbs, and if we smash all the breadcrumbs together, we might get a piece of bread. Oh, okay. Well, I can kind of see where that's going. So Brody is great, IU grad, and doing great things at The Athletic. Give him a follow, give him a subscribe, all that fun stuff that goes on along with that.